Box Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of...
Roma Seltzer.
Tonight, Roma Seltzer's Box Pop travels to Boston, Massachusetts to talk to the men of the United States Coast Guard. And here are your two Box Poppers, Parks Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Boston.
This is Parks Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull.
And John Cole of the Coast Guard.
Yes, that was John Cole, our own John Cole, who left Vox Pop nearly 3 years ago. He was our director. And he's here tonight with other Coast Guard buddies to tell us about the heroic part that the Coast Guard has played in every combat area.
And here on the stage with us, and John, are Chief Boatswain's Mate William Godley Lawrence, Machinist Mate Second Class Ed Bonamici, Chief Boatswain's Mate Cesar Romero, Mortimer Machinist Mate First Class James Catone. Yes, five good men and two of the Coast Guard. Every one of them an overseas veteran. And by the way, how many Coast Guardsmen are in this big auditorium? Now, come on, sound off, huh?
Yeah, there they are, hundreds of Coast Guardsmen and spas and wives and sweethearts, and now our first Box Papa. He was, as I told you, our director 3 years ago, and we were happy, mighty happy, when he enlisted in the Coast Guard. And I remember when we saw him off the war, when he boarded his ship down there at Norfolk, long time ago, too. Now he's back, and his ribbons show several invasions, and he wears a Purple Heart. Folks, we want you to meet one of the nicest, finest, jolliest fellows in uniform from New York City, Vox Pop's own Chief Petty Officer, John G. Cole. Now, John, you know how it feels to introduce a fella. Isn't it a little bit different from what it used to be?
I haven't been so nervous since I left Luzon.
You remember when you used to stand back here with a stopwatch and a bullwhip?
Oh, this is rugged duty now.
Say, have you had your leave yet?
Well, I'm having it right now, Park.
You mean we dragged you up here and took a little of your leave away?
Well, you shouldn't have kept me away.
No, well, that's awfully nice of you. Lois is with you, of course, isn't she?
She's right down there.
Uh-huh. Where's the kid?
Back in Connecticut.
We'll talk about the kid a little bit later on. And by the way, weren't you and Cesar Romero on this same trip?
Yes, we were.
Uh-huh. Well, Cesar's going to be with us in just a minute. I mentioned those stars, those various landings. What landings did you make?
Well, there were two in the Marianas parks and two in the Philippines.
You mean Leyte and
Luzon? Luzon, yes. And Saipan and Tinian in the Marianas.
John, you operated as one of a team of combat correspondents?
That's right, combat correspondents. We had a photographer and an artist and... usually the three of us worked on one ship, and then there were a team of these three men worked on all the ships that the Coast Guard was manning right there in the Pacific.
And you you landed right in the beginning, didn't you? With a typewriter in one hand and a six-shooter in the other?
That's the general idea, yeah.
Yeah? Well, was it on Luzon that you were wounded, John?
Yeah, that's when I did
Did you have the typewriter with you when you were wounded?
Well, I had it, and then I dropped it, and then I picked it up again later.
Oh, excuse me, Parks. I wanted to find out. I was just going to ask you about that typewriter, John. Your old Vox Pop 20, you know how rare they are.
Sure. Got to hang on to them.
Sure. Say, you were in all those invasions. The coxswains are the ones who took it on the landing craft, weren't they, standing up as they did?
Well, they're pretty swell guys, Warren, actually. I saw one, for instance, at Luzon, a kid named Red Darris. Mortar fire was fairly heavy when we were going in, and... Red was hit, and he was hit in the back, ripped from shoulder to shoulder, and the engineer grabbed the wheel as soon as Red was hit, and he had a quick decision to make as to whether to try and get Red to medical treatment or to go on in and make the landing, you know, with the troops and get them ashore. I got him ashore, and Red's life was saved. He went out to a PC, and he got medical treatment out there, and he pulled through. I spent a couple of months with him at Guadalcanal Hospital, so I know the 12th kid.
Well, those ships kept coming right in then, in spite of everything.
They never stopped, Warren. It was really amazing. We were on the beach there, and for instance, maybe a half an hour after the first wave had landed, we were watching the LSMs, and even before the LSTs got in, and I saw an LSM take six direct hits and just keep coming. They don't stop for anything. And they got ashore, they got up the beach, and they were wallowing and staggering, but they made the beach, and they got their vehicles off and their troops off and pulled out. They were just
Coast Guard man.
Well, I don't know. They were doing a swell job, though.
What are some of the things that you sent back in your dispatches?
Well, we're mostly interested in hometown stories, Juan. We believe that the best thing for a correspondent like myself and also photographers, of course, is to send the news of the boys back to their families and let them know what they're doing overseas as a kind of a morale for them and maybe a little boost for the Coast Guard, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there is one little thing that I'd like to tell you here.
If you can tell it in a nutshell, please. You know Vox Pop.
We don't send in the headline stories. We do send in the hometown stories, but sometimes the hometown stories turn out to be headliners.
Mm-hmm.
And heroes are made and every day out there, and there are a lot of kids that deserve to be heroes that aren't. I mean, I saw a kid save two CDs that were blown off the tail end of an LST. That's just routine.
Mm-hmm.
Under fire, he did it.
Warren?
Yes.
Let me come back in just a minute and say that we're going to bring John back toward the end of the program, and I dare say we can't keep him out of it as we go along. And so, John, you know the old Vox Pop routine, but you're not going to find out what your gifts are now. We are mighty happy to have you with us, and we're going to bring you back again in a very few minutes.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, John.
Remember the name Edward Bonamici? Well, almost 3 years ago on a Coast Guard program right here in Boston, he was with us. He hadn't been home to Buffalo for a long time, and he was waiting for leave so that he could go home and marry his sweetheart, Charlotte. So when we were talking to him, we gave him a phone call to Charlotte. But instead of being on the other end of the line, she came out onto the stage and surprised Ed. I think surprise is sort of a mild word for that, isn't it, Ed?
And how? It's quite a surprise.
Well, we announced that he had his leave right then, and we sent them off home to be married and gave them a honeymoon at Niagara Falls. It was almost 3 years ago. Now, he happens to be in Boston, so we're glad to have him here tonight. Machinist Mate Second Class, Edward Bonamici. Ed, this is the second time now on Vox Pop. You're not as nervous as the first time, are you?
I think just a little more.
Yeah. Well, you know, the last time you were with us, you told about having helped in the evacuation of Singapore and being bombed for 4 days and nights there in the harbor. What have you been doing since we saw you?
Well, since then, we've been bringing back the wounded and soldiers coming home on leave, the discharges and such.
Mm-hmm. You've been running a shuttle service?
We had a shuttle run there for a while between the States and England.
Where else?
Well, France, Italy, North Africa, and a few other places.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen a big change in the war against Japan, haven't you?
I sure have. I think I can say we were taking it for a while, but I'm sure we're dishing it out now, better than ever.
You said it. Now, bring us up to date on you and Charlotte. What's happened since that program?
Well,
you went home and you went on your honeymoon. I'll help you out here.
The honeymoon was really wonderful.
Yeah.
I couldn't ask for better. As I say, we had one of the best hotels in Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And the honeymoon has to be at the falls, you know.
Yeah.
And since then, we had a member to the family.
What's this now?
Oh, yes, my son.
Oh, really?
Put a boy at that, yes.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
How old is he?
He's 17 months old now, but just take him for five.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, come on, show us his picture. Don't be bashful. You know,
well,
I'm a service man.
I have to brag about him, you know. They are
wonderful. Oh, isn't he cute? Oh, he's a... Well, he looks like an admiral.
I hope not.
Say, Johnny Cole, by the way, come on in here. You remember Ed Bonamici.
Sure. How are you, Ed?
Glad to see you.
Steve.
You
were
glad
really...
To be back
the last time
you.
I saw you, you were really surprised.
I sure was.
What language?
Well, we'll let that go.
Remember that language?
I do. My mother's still bawling me out.
Well, you know, Johnny, since you were both on this program, Ed had a little tar, and I understand you had a little spar.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Well, go ahead. Take a look at this picture here.
Well,
keep really the spar away from the tar.
What's his name?
He's named after Coast Guard Cutter, Duane.
Uh-huh. Well, he certainly looks like you. He certainly does. By the way, does he look like that kid there? Does he?
Billy! Oh! Come in!
Wait a minute. Bring him over.
Dwayne.
Oh, it is.
Dwayne.
Say a few words, Billy. Come on.
That's all right, Dwayne. And of
you
course,
you can expect anything from the Vox Pop.
That's all right. Now, you just hold him in your arms. You know, Dwayne wasn't quite old enough to come down here from Buffalo alone. And, of course, his mother, Charlotte, came along. We're so glad that you could be along. And so glad that we could reunite all of you.
That's
your
now. That's my Malden gang.
Oh, that's wonderful. I remember the last time when you came out on the stage, Charlotte, you said, "I'm in heaven." You remember that? That last
time? I am now, Mike.
Sure. Well, now we have to rush along, and so you can go back and you can walk the floor with Dwayne now.
Well, thank you very much, Mike.
Bromo Seltzer has for you first to take home to your mother-in-law, who you say is the best in the world.
She is.
This very lovely summer handbag. It's beautiful white leather there. And we can't bring Dwayne all the way from Buffalo without giving him something to take back. So here is a brown and white fox terrier puppy for him. And for the three of you, when you get your leave, the wherewithal to take care of a good hunk of that trip that you planned to the Adirondacks. Thanks
well,
for
thank
that.
You
have
very
a
much
good time.
Thank you, Vice Pop.
Oh, well, good luck to all of you. Machinist Mate Second Class Ed Bonamici and Charlotte and little Dwayne.
Thank you.
Now gather around, all you children. You're about to hear a preachment. Ernest Chappell is going to propound.
A proverb, Park. Lost time is never found again. So, friends, don't go looking for that day you wasted from work.
Headache kept me home. I stayed up too late. Couldn't make it next morning.
Nor that meeting you missed with a hometown friend.
Headache in my case, too. Had a bit of an upset stomach and jangled nerves.
Remember what that last headache made you lose? Well, turn regret to resolve. Be ready to fight that next headache with Bromo Seltzer. Soon as that headache hits you, hit back. Quick dissolving, quick acting, Bromo Seltzer helps relieve headache in a hurry, brings two extra benefits besides. Yes, Bromo Seltzer works three ways for headache relief. Helps settle the upset stomach that simple headache may bring, helps ease the jangled nerves that may jar you too. So don't experiment with single acting aids. Get quick, effective relief for head, stomach, and nerves with quick dissolving, quick acting Bromo Seltzer. Buy a bottle from your druggist tonight, and then join the crowd on the talking train.
Five, three ways!
Yes, sir, Ernest Chappell, and now comes the fighting chief bosun's mate who was and is a mighty well-known marine artist. You've no doubt seen his work on the covers of the Saturday Evening Post and other magazines. I see two combat stars on his European theater ribbon. I see two combat stars on that Asiatic ribbon. And I also see the silver star, not to mention the good conduct medal. Been a good boy. Folks, we want you to know him. He's from Red Bank, New Jersey, and he's Chief Bosun's mate, William Godbey Lawrence. Chief, you're married, of course.
Yes, I am.
And where's the missus?
Well, she's here tonight.
Came with you?
Yeah.
Fine. No children around the house?
No.
No children.
Dogs.
Dogs, huh? You were quite a sportsman. I know you sailed a lot. You knew little small boats, didn't you?
Yeah, I had my own boat.
No wonder you can paint marine scenes and all. Tell me, where was your last action?
Well, at Okinawa.
And, you just back recently then, of course.
Yes, I just came back.
Where was your first combat experience?
Well, that was at Gela, Sicily.
On Sicily. That was a hot one, too, wasn't it? Did you do any sketching at Salerno or Sicily?
No, I didn't have time for that there.
I thought you were a marine artist.
Well, I am sometimes.
Well, what happened? Why didn't you?
Well, when I was there, I was a boatswain. Uh-huh. I had a salvage boat.
Yeah? Did you try to do the job, or did the skipper let you, or what?
Well, when I went aboard the ship, I had a long conversation with him, and he said, you're a boatswain, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you came in as a boatswain mate in the service? I said, yes, sir. He said, then you were a boatswain mate aboard here. I said,
and yes, so you sir. Were a boatswain mate, huh? And you did operate a salvage boat there.
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. Yeah. In the Pacific, were you at Iwo?
Yeah, I was at Iwo.
You at Suribachi in the early days?
Yes, well, we were there from the first day on. And Suribachi was sort of an odd kind of a mountain.
Why? How do you figure that?
Well, I made a lot of drawings of it. And every time I'd make a drawing of it, well, the darn thing would be changed because of our gunfire.
Oh, it blasted away, huh?
The ship changed the face right out of it.
So you had to keep on changing your sketches to make it true to life. And you on Okinawa, I said. Did you go ashore?
Yeah, I went ashore at Okinawa.
Uh-huh. Early?
Well, I was in the fifth wave then.
Oh, just a few minutes after you started, huh?
Well, let's see. I was something like 18 minutes at 8 hours.
You were right there. Did you do any sketching on the beach there?
Well, I did do some. With time availed, I mean, as you could.
Uh-huh. Well, I won't pass on from that. And ask you, did you see any suicide planes? Sketch them.
Yes, we had suicide planes coming in. It was the darndest sight you ever saw. They were really,
Did you catch some of that?
Well, you wouldn't believe it unless you saw it. That's what I'm saying about.
I guess there was a lot of shooting aboard your ship, too, huh?
Well, there certainly was. Some of the boys, every time they'd be shooting, why, the ack-ack going up, why, at night particularly, it was terrifically...
What was that story you were telling Chief Cole about some fella, the officer, asking what he was shooting at?
That was one night when they opened fire when they weren't supposed to, and they started questioning some of the boys, and they questioned one of them, and they said, what were you shooting at? Did you see the plane? He said, no, I didn't see the plane. But he said, I looked up there and there was a blank space, and I thought I ought to fill it up.
No wonder they don't get through. Well, that was a swell story about a buddy, but I guess you fellas won't talk much about yourself, would you?
Well, you got to ask John Cole.
Come here, John. How about that?
Well, you know, Parks, Bill and I were at Met on the West Coast. We've been overseas. We hadn't been together on the same ship. It was the first time we'd been back, and we had a bedroom on this train. We were shared it with a civilian. And Bill and I weren't too backward. We wanted to tell somebody about, you know, our overseas experiences. We thought, well, we've locked up with a civilian for 2.5 days. What better chance? Well, after 2.5 days, we heard nothing but his World War experience. World War I.
I know about that. Guilty. Thank you, John, and thank you, Bill Lawrence. You're a real Coast Guardsman, and we're proud to have had the privilege of talking with you tonight. And we hope that you and Ms. Lawrence are going to like what Romo Seltzer's Santa Claus is going to bring out for you now. First of all, for a real fisherman, something that we were most fortunate to find. Maybe you know that. 500 yards of number 39 thread is a fishing line for tuna fishing.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Mike.
All right. And knowing that Ms. Lawrence collects them, we found her a beautiful, really beautiful Royal Copenhagen figurine. It's a dog. And for a sports lover, when you're ashore, a good, though slightly used, 12-gauge Belgian barrel automatic Browning shotgun. Thank you a lot, Chief Bill Lawrence. Enjoyed having you.
Before we continue, I just want to tell you I'd like to have you all backstage where you can see the Bonamici's all with their arms around each other. Boy, how Ed loves that little kid. Now, one day, while working in Coney Island, this man went out and enlisted in the Coast Guard, and he's been doing a whale of a job overseas and here ever since. By the way, Coney Island was a picture, and this man is Chief Bosun's mate, Cesar Romero.
Thank you, Warren. It's wonderful to be here with you tonight, and it's wonderful to be here to see John Cole again.
Why, sure. Old reunion's here tonight. Hey, you know, you're looking very fit. The Coast Guard has done a lot for you.
Oh, yes. In the past 2 years, it's given me a lot of gray hairs.
Very becoming. You expect to be in much longer?
Well, if they don't let me out soon, I'm going to get back in pictures in time to play Mickey Rooney's father.
Has the Coast Guard added to your list of talents at all?
Oh, yes, I think so. I can wash clothes very well, and I can swab out a head just as good as anybody else. And I can sew my clothes. I got a couple of patches in my dungarees, and I'm very proud of, as a matter of fact.
Well, I think 20th Century Fox would be glad to know that. What was your job aboard ship?
Well, I was just a member of the ship's crew, Warren. We did the work on deck, and my battle station was up on the forward 5-inch gun. I was first powderman on the big gun up there.
And you ever had a chance to shoot?
Only once.
You were lucky.
Yes, we were extremely lucky, as a matter of fact. And both the invasions of Saipan and Tinian, we really, compared to what the boys are going through now, we really had a very easy time of it. We were very successful in landing the troops on Saipan and also on Tinian, and we evacuated the wounded from both islands. But we were never hit, and we were never under any Great Fire. So
not like the fellows are taking up in Okinawa now.
It seems that the closer you get to Japan, the worse it gets out there. I know they're having quite a tough time out there, but we were very fortunate.
Well, I happen to know that you have a brother in the 1st Marines on Okinawa right now, too. So
yes, he is.
You're sort of interested in what's going on there.
Yes,
right?
Very much so.
You've been doing talks at war plants and all that sort of thing since you came back.
Yes, since I came back, I was sent over to the Industrial Incentive Division of the Navy, and I've been going around to the plants and talking to the workers. And
who writes your speeches?
Oh, nobody writes them. I just talk, that's all.
Yeah. I say, what's the message that you try to put across?
Well, I try to tell them a little something about the boys that they're helping by sticking to their jobs. Tell them a little something about how those fellows live and how they fight, and a little about how they die. And to try and give them an idea of just what this war means to those boys that are sacrificing so much over there and having such a tough time. We on board ship are very lucky because at least we have a clean bunk to sleep in at night. We have hot food every day, so it's really a great advantage. The boys that are on shore, the Marines and the soldiers are really the ones that really have that very tough time because their conditions are really pretty hard on them.
Sure they are. Say, John Cole, you were on the same ship with Caesar. Is there anything that you want to say here?
Well, I can say the last time I saw Caesar, he was in the dirtiest pair of dungarees I ever saw, emptying garbage about 5:30 one morning.
Well, at least you can talk about the last thing you saw me doing. I can't talk about the last thing I saw you doing.
All right. Well, Caesar, we're very glad to have had you aboard.
You broke that one up.
Now Bromo Seltzer has for you, and we're sending it to your home, a beautiful pine-top pine and maple tavern table. It's put together with pegs. It's very old and very sturdy. Pilgrim Fathers really made them solid in those old days. And also, to go on it, a beautiful brass Russian samovar with lots of tax marks on it, if you know your antique.
That's wonderful.
And for evenings when you don't go to the movies, here's your own projector, sort of. A pair of stereopticons with lots of slides, just like Grandpappy and used to show to Grandmammy when they were courting. Thanks very much, and good luck to you. Chief Bosun's mate, Caesar Romero.
Thank you, Warren. Very, very much indeed.
Okay, Paul.
Say, is your headache a hush-hush affair? No fair, says Ernest Chappell.
True, Park. Tain't fair to make the family step on tiptoe and turn off the radio just because you choose to suffer from an ordinary headache. Instead, turn to time-tested Bromo Seltzer. Get three-way help in a hurry. Headache may sometimes bring along upset stomach and frazzled nerves, so Bromo Seltzer's extra benefits are a boon. Bromo Seltzer dissolves fast, acts fast, goes to work on the triple. Bromo Seltzer helps relieve headache, helps settle that upset stomach and calm jittery nerves. And then see, you'll feel three ways better fast. You can take Bromo Seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzing. Use as directed for persistent or recurring headaches. See your doctor. For ordinary headache, find the help you want when you want it. Try Speedy Bromo Seltzer. A product of the Emerson Drug Company, Bromo Seltzer comes in four popular sizes. Buy a bottle from your druggist tonight. You're set to
fight headache three ways.
Back with our Coast Guardsman down here in Boston. And here's a Coast Guardsman 4 years in uniform who's had a most interesting experience recently that I want him to talk about in a minute. He's tall, dark. I fooled you. He's full of fun. He's not yet married, and he lives with his mother and his dad on East 88th Street there in New York City. Folks, we want you to meet Motor Machinist Mate First Class James Quattoni. Jim, your mother and dad are at home. Who else is there with them?
My little sister.
A little sister, huh? Yeah. What's her name?
Margaret.
I hope Margaret's listening, and mother and dad, too. What type ship were you on?
Destroyer Escort.
Oh, one of those fast little old DEs, huh?
Right.
On convoy duty?
Convoy duty, yes.
Never a dull moment on a DE.
No.
Huh? Say, what are some of the things you had to do, odd things, besides watching submarines and so on?
Well, we get interesting duties such as going up in convoys. One of our main jobs was we saved the blood supply of New York's quota for the month.
You did?
Was going bad, and we went up alongside Linda's system.
Uh-huh.
Their refrigeration system.
That was worth a year's service, saving a bunch of blood plasma, wasn't it? What would you say is your most interesting experience?
Well, join that going aboard that submarine.
Oh, that German submarine?
That's right.
The first one to surrender to the U.S. forces, surrendered to the Coast Guard out there in the Azores, I remember.
Uh-huh.
And you were a member of that prize crew?
That's right.
You remember when you went aboard her?
Oh, yes. Late at night, we went aboard the submarine.
Uh-huh.
We were really a little nervous about it. But
well,
we
weren't the Germans nervous, too?
Oh, they were just as nervous as we were.
Yeah? And what was your job aboard? What were you supposed to do?
Well, I'm in the black gang. I went down to check the engines.
You're supposed to see that the engines ran right.
That's
and check
right.
them, huh?
Yeah.
Well, did you talk to the fellows a little bit, the Germans?
Yes, we did. They wanted to know what was going to happen to them and all that. They kept asking us different questions. We didn't.
You had to make up something, didn't you?
That's right.
What kind of a hotline did you hand out to
them? Well, they thought we were going to put them in irons and different things like that, and we just let them go about their own business, let them do what they wanted to do, and we just kept a close watch on them.
They were surprised, huh?
They really were surprised we treated them so well. They thanked us.
Was it a tough-looking crew? I mean, tough crew?
Oh, yes, they were rugged-looking boys.
Nice.
Vatican boys, yes. Uh-huh. They were really rugged.
Hitler youth, would you say?
All Hitler youth members, and uh-huh. they were proud of it.
Yeah. Did they believe Hitler to be dead?
Yes, they believed that someone had shot him, but they never talked too much about it.
Uh-huh. They tried to get a lot of information, I know, from you, didn't they?
They did, but we never talked too much.
Naturally, you fellas don't. You know your stuff on that. Did they have plenty of good food aboard?
Yes, a lot of small food.
You know about that, do you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Did they comment at all on any of our bombings or whether it was effective or not?
Oh, yes. The way we bombed and delayed the completion of the submarine they were on.
Is that so?
Yeah, they claimed that our bombing had put them out of commission for a year or so.
Uh-huh.
Stopped the completion of their submarine.
Well, I know every Air Force fellow listening is just confirms what he already knows and what we know. Say, Jim, would you like to stay in the service after it's over?
Well, yes, if I could hold my rating and probably make chief and continue on. And
in other words, if they leave you as you are, boost you, you'll stay, huh?
Surely.
Well, I hope the big boss is listening and they'll take a look at your record, because it looked like to us you're a mighty good Coast Guardsman. We're mighty happy to have had you with us. And for Mother, down there in New York, Miss Teresa Quitone, from good old Bromo Seltzer, we've got a brand new post-war Hamilton Beach electric mixer. Oh, it's a beauty, too. And one more thing. For you, we've got a military 17-jewel Croton Aquamatic self-winding waterproof and all sorts of proof, you know, anti-magnetic wristwatch. Can you use it, Jim?
Oh, I'll say I could.
Thank you a lot, fella. I'm mighty glad to have had you with us.
Thank you.
Now I want to call Chief Petty Officer John Cole back here. And John, before we leave, I'd like to ask you one more question, and that is, what's the most important thing that you learned out there?
Well, Warren, I think it's the fact that when I left, I was a pretty big Coast Guard booster, and I guess I still am a pretty good Coast Guardsman. But when you come back, you realize that the individual services don't mean very much. It doesn't matter whether you have khaki or green or anything else on there. It's kind of the guy that's out there fighting the war. And it's like Caesar said, that if you're behind the gun and you're working in mud instead of on the deck, it means a lot. The guys that are slogging through, the Marines and Army, well, they deserve a tremendous amount of credit.
Wonderful,
really
wonderful sentiment, John. But, John, you and Warren, hold it a minute. John, you should know this old Vox Pop routine. Time for Mr. Bromoselsa Santa Claus. We heard that you have very real fondness for Terry and the Pirates, so Milton Kniff is sending you a specially drawn Terry mislaced cartoon and his new book, published only last Friday by Simon & Schuster, It's Mail Call, and something that Warren and I thought little Leighton Ann would love, a beautiful doll in a handsome doll buggy.
Oh, that's not all. Whoa, wait a minute. Also, what we have for you, John, what every correspondent can use, a Parker 51 fountain pen, and something special, a portable Liberty phone. It's a 6-tube AC-DC long and short wave radio phonograph with automatic record changer for 8 records, all in a genuine leather case. Thanks very much. Good luck to you, Chief Petty Officer, John G. Cole.
Thanks a million. Thanks a million.
Okay. Folks, there's our Coast Guard. They've been in that fighting shoulder to shoulder with our other armed forces every step of the way. We're all proud of their heroic accomplishment.
Now, next week, there's going to be some changes. We'll be with the American Legion, Leonard Morang Post, Fort Morang Post, number 464, Bronxville, New York.
Yes, and Warren, I'll be missing all of you next week.
Yes, folks, we're turning Parks out to pasture for a few weeks, and pinch-hitting for him for the third year will be the famous New York Daily News columnist, Ed Sullivan.
I'm glad my old friend Ed Sullivan will be talking for me over Vox Pop next few weeks. And, folks, if you don't know why Warren is jumping around like this, he and Eloise Shea will be married in an hour. Good luck to you and Eloise Warren.
So long, everybody. Thanks
nice
a lot,
folks.
Mark.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Warren Hull and Ed Sullivan visit the American Legion in Bronxville, New York. Meanwhile, remember...
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.